copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Okay, so ministry, we know it's pretty hard at times. We've all gotten notes in the mail or emails, or you've gotten voicemails of people criticizing messages, criticizing your leadership, maybe somebody leaving your church or departing your ministry. Maybe you've dealt with gossip, you've dealt with slander, and please tell me that doesn't just happen to American pastors, okay? That happens to all of us, right? So we all go through difficult times in ministry, and ministry can be very hard at times. And ministry can honestly suck the life right out of us. And we can lose nights of sleep. We can toss and turn thinking about a person they've done to us. Something happened in ministry. We don't know how to handle it. Ministry can wear us out. And it's not just the criticisms. Ministry can wear us out even with confrontations we have to have with people in our church. Or dealing with sin issues. Meetings can wear us out, running late, or not seeing eye to eye with other people in our church or ministries. Counseling, you're counseling someone and it doesn't go well and they just won't listen. Or just the weekly pressures of sermon preparation and lesson preparation. And maybe some of you have jobs outside of your ministries and trying to balance all of that. And how do I balance this well? There are days when I want to call it quits in ministry. When I'm tired of being a pastor, and I just want to move far away. As a matter of fact, maybe I'll stay in Poland and not go back. We all have those days when ministry is very difficult. Well, I want us to learn today as a group of ministry leaders and pastors about church renewal and church revitalization. And I believe it starts with us. I believe it starts from the inside out. And what do I mean by that? I mean that we need to be in a healthy place, spiritually speaking, in dealing with difficulties or hurts or anger or confusion, whatever it is, because it is easy to lose heart in ministry. Anybody who has served in ministry for any length of time understands it's easy to lose heart in ministry. I don't want us to lose heart. We don't want to lose heart. God does not want you to lose heart. And the Apostle Paul does not want you to lose heart. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul dealt with. The Apostle Paul knew how hard ministry was firsthand. 2 Corinthians 11. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. Far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers in the sea, on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been on labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, often without food and cold exposure. Apart from external things, there's the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Now, I read that list and I realize I don't have it as bad as I thought I did. And I read that list, and I also realize I'm not as strong as I thought I was. And that I have a lot to learn about being strong in ministry. And about toughing it out when things get hard. But you don't need to hear from me, because I'm wimpy. You need to hear from the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is a time-tested warrior when it comes to ministry. So I want you to understand he is speaking to you today through the inerrant word of God's inerrant holy word of the Bible. And so I want you to take this from the Apostle Paul. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he gives us the heart encouragement that we need. the heart encouragement that starts with us. If our churches are going to understand renewal and revitalization, oftentimes we need to be renewed and understand revitalization in our own lives. And there's 18 verses in this chapter, and we're not going to look at every verse. We're going to look at the two ends of the chapter, the two book ends of the chapter. And the first one is verse 4, and the second one is verse 18, or verse 16. And chapter 4, verse 1 says this: "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart." Then at the very end of the chapter, verse 16, therefore, he repeats it, we do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So he says, I want you encouraged. I don't want you to lose heart in your ministry. I don't want you to lose heart in your church. And if you're there right now, he wants you to be encouraged. And so the first thing he's going to teach us is this: you have a divine calling. Don't lose heart. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. So you have a ministry. Your ministry is a gift from God. It's not something that you worked up on your own. It's not something that you stumbled upon by chance. You were called into the ministry. You were gifted for ministry. It's not just a job. It is a divine calling from God. And so we need to embrace this divine calling. And this is vital for my encouragement in the ministry as well as yours, to understand God has called me and gifted me for this ministry. And I believe in many ways this is kind of like an anchor on a boat. When the storms come into your ministry, this is what will keep you grounded. This is what will keep you from being blown and battered in ministry. If we forget our calling in ministry, the storms of adversity could sink us. If we forget our calling and doubt our calling, the winds of adversity can blow us right out of ministry. And there's people no longer in ministry today because adversity got the best of them. If we don't treasure this calling, we could just set sail in our boat of ministry and say, I'm out of here. I'm done with ministry. Too many pastors have left churches. Too many people have left ministries that God did not want them to leave. Paul knew his calling. And he talks a little bit about the calling in 2 Corinthians 3:8. He says it's a ministry of the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:9, he says it's a ministry of righteousness. I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Of which Paul says, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. So it was a gift of God's grace. Colossians chapter 1. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. So here it is again. He sees his ministry as a gift. He sees his ministry as a calling. Now understand, you have this ministry. He says in verse 1, therefore, since we have this ministry, it's a blessing. It is a blessing that you serve in a church. It is a blessing that you serve in ministry. It is a calling that is yours. And you don't have to have it, but God gave it to you. And there's plenty of men and women no longer enjoying the privilege of ministry because they have forgotten this truth. Now, what I need to do at times is I need to change my attitude. Sometimes I feel sorry for myself. Sometimes I'm filled with pity when things are going hard at my church. And sometimes I get proud. And I think I know better. And so I've got to learn to swallow my pride, and I've got to learn to stop my pity. When I feel sorry for myself, pity, it's a poison in our souls that can make us sick of people and sick of serving God and sick of ministry. So we have to be careful of when we feel sorry for ourselves. Not only that, we've got to be careful of pride, because when we get proud, it can cloud our judgment. And then we make bad decisions in ministry when we get full of ourselves. So we've got to be careful of pity, And we've got to be careful of pride. And you may say, well, I don't want to drink that poison of pity. And I don't want to be proud. What is the antidote? What is the solution? What is the cure when I'm feeling sorry for myself? What is the cure when I'm being proud? Well, we have to go back to verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy. And the Apostle Paul combines ministry and mercy, and he puts them together. He did this before in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. God put you into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. So once again, ministry and mercy go hand in hand. Part of God's mercy was calling me into ministry. And part of God's mercy in your life was calling you into ministry. So receiving mercy is something I don't deserve. Receiving the ministry that I have is something I don't deserve. Receiving the ministry that you have been gifted with is something you don't deserve as well. And so our ministry is a privilege. It's a privilege to serve Christ Jesus. It's a privilege to serve Him. And so we need to praise God for our ministry, and we need to praise God for His mercy. And we need to recognize that. There was a guy who was invited. Football's pretty big in the United States. It'd be like football, American football. Soccer would be big here, football here. There was a motivational speaker that came, and he spoke to these college kids who were in this sport. And he had them write down two words. He said, I want you to write down have to. And go ahead and write that down on your sheet. Just write have to. H-A-V-E-T-O. And then he said to this team of college students, he said, now cross out the word have and write get. G-E-T. You get to. Now, what he was saying is this. He said, you don't have to run sprints. You don't have to train for this sport. You don't have to go to the gym and lift weights. You get to. There are people in wheelchairs. There are people without legs. There are people without arms who would love to be able to play sports, who would love to be able to work out in the gym, who would love to be able to run sprints, but they can't. You get to do those things. It's not that you have to. So listen carefully. You don't have to go back to your church. You don't have to preach this Sunday or next Sunday. You don't have to counsel those people. You get to. You get to serve Jesus. You get to be in ministry. You get to have His mercy and have that responsibility. So he says, don't lose heart. Don't quit and don't give up. No matter how discouraged, no matter how defeated, no matter how depressed you might be. But you may say this, well, you don't understand what I'm facing. You're an American pastor. You don't know how hard it is here. You don't know the church that I'm in. You don't know the people that I deal with. You don't know how hard it is with the decisions I have to make. You don't understand how hard it is the two jobs I have to work plus be in ministry. And you don't know the pressure that I'm under with the culture in which I serve. I may not, but I want you to understand. Paul understands. And he had it worse than any single one of us in this room. And that's why he's giving us heart encouragement. And the first thing we learn is that we have divine calling. The second thing we learn is this. You have an all-powerful enabling. Don't lose heart. You have an all-powerful enabling. Look at verse 8 and 9. This is in the middle of the section. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Paul says, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. And he lists out for you and for me four different difficulties that we are going to face in ministry. Every single one of us will face these difficulties. We will be afflicted, we will be perplexed, we will be persecuted, and we will be struck down. Now the first one he says is affliction. That means we're hard pressed. It means we're pressured. Pressured so intense in ministry that there's times we want to quit, we want to run, we want to die. You may say, we want to die? Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which has come to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. There are times in ministry you're just going to quit, even you want to die, Paul says. Afflicted in every way. We've already seen how Paul was afflicted. He was afflicted physically, beaten, whipped, scars to prove it, emotionally, the daily pressure of churches, relationally. He had a falling out with Barnabas. He was abandoned by Demas. Financially, he knew what it was like to go without. Spiritually, to wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this world. How about you? Are you afflicted physically? Sickness, disease, weakness, exhaustion, emotionally, pressure of ministry, relationally, dealing with people in the church, family issues, financially, trying to figure out how you're going to pay bills or the church and the offerings, and spiritually, the temptations and the trials. But he says this, we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. So there may be times in your ministry that you just feel like you are being pressured and squeezed, really constricted, almost suffocating, that you can't breathe. I want you to understand what that pressure is doing. That pressure is polishing you. That pressure is perfecting you. A diamond is only carbon unless it goes under intense pressure and heat. God allows you and I to go under intense pressure and heat, making us into diamonds for ministry, so that we shine for the glory of God. And Paul was quite the diamond in ministry. He never quit. All of the pressures we learned about, all the things we read that he went through, just polished him into a greater diamond to shine greater for the glory of God. That is what is happening in your ministry and my ministry when we go through difficulties. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 5. 3 through 5. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. In James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So he says, afflicted but not crushed. Look at the second one he says here. Perplexed but not despairing. Perplexed means despondent. It means dejected. It means confused. It means I'm frustrated about serving God. I'm frustrated in my church. I'm frustrated in this ministry. I don't have all the answers. Here's the good news. He says, you're not despairing. You can be at a loss, but not a total loss. You can be at the brink or at the edge of defeat, but not defeated. You can be very discouraged in ministry, but the Lord is going to bring you through. And this is where the importance of prayer comes in. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose hope. Your prayer life is so important for being renewed in ministry. And prayer is so important for your church to be renewed in ministry. You've got to spend time in prayer. I was so glad that I saw the signs for a prayer room here. I went up last night and just prayed and lifted up our time together, just asking God to speak. I want to encourage you to spend time in prayer with your God. And we all know the verse in Philippians. Just don't be anxious for anything. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Let those requests be made known to God, and the peace of God surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So he says, afflicted, not crushed. Perplexed, not despairing. Then he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. It has the idea of being hunted and being pursued. 1 Peter 5:8. You know the verse. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. And then Acts chapter 9. When many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him, and watching at the gates that he might be put to death, we're told. But he says, we're not forsaken. One stat of those in ministry is that 70% of us in ministry, those in ministry, don't have someone close that they consider a friend. 70% of people in ministry, of those in ministry, don't have someone they consider a close friend. That's a staggering percent if you really think about it. You can see that in Paul's life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. My first offense, no one supported me, but all what? Deserted me. The rest of the verse says this, though. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. So the Lord stands with us. We are never abandoned. We are never deserted. The Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will rescue you. The Lord will bring you safely through. And then he gives us the fourth word. Afflicted, not crushed. Perplexed, not despairing. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Struck down as with a weapon, as with thrown down into a mat, like in a wrestling match. Every critical letter that you get, every voicemail is a slap across that face. Every email is a shot in the gut. And you're exhausted in ministry. Ministry hurts at times. In Acts chapter 14, the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. I mean, everyone was against him. Sometimes in ministry, we will get the feeling like everyone is against me. No one in my church understands me, or I want to lead this way and they don't understand it, or I want to do this and they don't get it. But then he says this, the rest of the story. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up, entered the city, and the next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. So he's not destroyed. There's a saying we have in America with a boxing match. I don't know if it's true over here. The saying is, don't throw in the towel. In old days, have you guys heard that saying or no? Okay, so in the old days, where it comes from is the manager, when he saw his boxer in the ring getting beat up pretty bad, he would take the towel and he would throw it in. And what it would do is it would stop the fight and cancel it so that his boxer could come out of the ring. So when we say, I just feel like throwing in the towel, it means I just want to quit. I like what somebody said about this. I tried to throw in the towel. God threw it back and said, wipe your face, you're almost there. You're not done. Don't quit. Keep going. And don't give up. Psalm 37. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way, and when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, how could Paul possibly get back up? How could he be renewed? How could he be revitalized from the inside out himself? Well, you got to consider the power source. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. There's no power in us. We are weak. All power is from God. So with this divine calling comes divine enabling. With God's divine calling into ministry comes God's divine empowerment for ministry. God is not going to set us up for failure. And where God calls us, God will enable us. And where God calls us, God will empower us. And we know this verse well, 2 Corinthians 12. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Every single day and every single message I preach, I get on my knees and I tell God, I can't do this. And just about every single day in ministry, I get on my knees and I tell God, I can't do this. I cannot do this without Him. I cannot serve Him without Him. I need His empowerment. I need His wisdom. It's His ministry. It's not mine. And I want to encourage you every single day to get on your knees and tell God you can't do it. Because when we're humble before the Lord, is when we're empowered for His work. And the weaker, the better. We experience God's power, God's provision. We experience God doing the work. And we've got to stop trying to do it in our own strength. Those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not get tired. They'll walk and not become weary. And I love this quote by Oswald Chambers. It is impossible to get exhausted in the work of God. We get exhausted because we try to do God's work in our own way. And there's a difference. 1 Peter 4:11. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. And so we serve in the strength of God for the glory of God. And this is heart encouragement. You have a divine calling. You have an all-powerful enabling. And here's the third thing that we have. You must be forward-thinking. Don't lose heart. Think future. Look ahead. And be forward-thinking. We see this in the last part of this passage. This is the second bookend. The second time he mentions don't lose heart. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And again, the second time he uses this in this passage, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Church renewal and revitalization starts within our own souls. We must be renewed. We must be revitalized. And so don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And the context of this last don't lose heart in your Bibles is verse 14 and 15. The context in verse 14 is being raised up with Jesus. Verse 15 is that grace is spreading. And the other part of verse 15 is that glory is abounding. And he says, therefore, because you're going to be raised up with Jesus, don't lose heart. Therefore, because grace of God is spreading, don't lose heart. Therefore, because the glory of God is abounding, don't lose heart. Therefore, looks back and it looks forward is what he's doing here. If we're being renewed, he says you're being renewed every day. Look at verse 16. Though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. I'm decaying. I'm getting older. I've got 5 kids. My youngest son just came home from college. Hadn't seen him in months. The first thing he walks in the door, he says, "What's up, old man?" In a fun way. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm getting older. I'm going to be a grandfather for the first time. My oldest daughter, who's married, is going to have a child. So yes, I'm getting older." Paul knew that he's not only getting older with age, but that he's also decaying because of persecution. He's got the scars to prove it. He's got the beatings to show for it. He's been whipped. He's had rocks thrown at him. He tells us in Galatians, "For I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus." He could lift his shirt up and show you the scars. He could show you where rocks hit him. That was Paul. But spiritually, he says, but my inner man is being renewed, so I'm not going to lose hope. Even though they may do this to my body, even though my body may be decaying, I'm going to be renewed in my hope because I'm being renewed every day. And there's this amazing paradox. While I get weaker, I grow stronger. And every day, God is working on me by His Spirit. He's fine-tuning me. He's adjusting me. He's teaching me. He's maturing me. He's growing me. It's Philippians 1:6. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And so we wait for that day and those heavenly awards. And verse 17, momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And this is what he says. He says, any suffering in this life is momentary. It's very brief. It's almost more like an annoyance. I just have to get through it. And my present suffering, Paul says, is light. He called being whipped 3 times light. He called shipwrecked light. He called dangers from Gentiles and dangers from Jews who are trying to kill him light affliction. He called 3 times being shipwrecked light. My trials as a pastor and your trials in ministry are less than light compared to the Apostle Paul. They're small inconveniences. And so what I have to do is I have to stop exaggerating the problems I go through in ministry. And I have to put them in a proper context of eternity and what's coming in the future. And he says, present suffering is good for us. It's producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So affliction is good. You know, I was driving through the area of Poland, and you see all those yellow flowers. Anybody know what those are? I didn't know it was rapeseed, and they take the seeds and they press them and they make oil. I just didn't know that. And the main crops in Poland are wheat and barley and oats and potatoes and sugar beet. I know is really big in Europe. Where I grew up, it's in the United States, we have a lot of corn, we have a lot of soybeans. One of the things that helps the crops to grow is manure, okay? Cow and, you know, excrement. And the more manure, the better. As a matter of fact, studies have been done. When manure is on a field, the yield increases by 30%. That's a lot. The crops are better by 30%. I want you to understand something about ministry manure. When you go through trials, when you go through difficulties in ministry, God is allowing the manure to be put on. And sometimes the ministry manure is spread pretty thick, and it smells really bad. And you don't like those people, and you don't like those problems, and you don't like those criticisms, and you don't like those issues you're dealing with. But I want you to understand, it's producing some wonderful stuff in your life. Like 30% more yield, ministry-wise. So we've got to get used to thanking God for ministry manure. And thank Him for the difficulties in our life. Because what is it going to do? It's going to yield more fruit in our ministries. Let me give you a verse, John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. God wants you bearing fruit. And sometimes the manure of ministry will help that come about more. Mark 4:20 is another verse I'm going to give you. And those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So he wants us to be good soil. And good soil with manure is going to really produce well. And so let those trials come into your life. Deal with those difficulties when they come, understanding it's going to produce good things out of your ministry. And it will produce eternal rewards. So we need to start thanking God for the afflictions in our life. Romans 8. If indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed. 1 Peter 5:10. After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So he says, an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison is what awaits us. Out of proportion, it just exceeds our limits. So what do we need to do? Verse 18. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 18 of our passage. We must change our look, the way we look at things. And we need to have this spiritual telescope that helps us to look into the future. When you take a telescope and you look into the dark sky, we need to take a telescope and look into the dark situations of ministry when it's hard and see the stars that are out there and see what is coming down the road and make an adjustment and refocus. Because he tells us, while we look at not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. Ephesians 2:6-7. He's raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. There's been studies done of athletes who have their eyes trained, like hockey goalies. And They'll do the exact same physical training as another goalie, but then they go through eye exercises. And vision training will help the athlete see better and perform at a higher level. Pastors and ministry leaders with vision training, I believe, will perform at a higher ministry level. We need to have our eyes trained, not just here and now, but all that is coming in the future. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. And think of eternity. He tells us in our passage, for things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. And Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us, He's made everything appropriate in time. He's also set eternity in our hearts. So it's all about perspective. We lose heart when we lose perspective. We need to keep an eternal perspective so that we do not lose heart. And that's heart encouragement. What have we learned? You have a divine calling. Don't lose heart. You have an all-powerful enabling. Don't lose heart. We must be forward-thinking. Don't lose heart.